The Little Wars by Winston Graham, winner of the first Crime Writers Association Award in 1955. With Alex Jennings, Roger Lloyd Pack, Kate Buffery, Vivian Pickles, and Norman Jones.
But don't move a muscle. Keep absolutely still. If I don't fix the position of your head with the first few strokes, I'm lost. That's good. Good. This time, I'm not leaving until the portrait is finished. You can relax in a minute. And yes, I'll keep my promise. You shall hear the story from the beginning. It was March 54. No, I beg your pardon. It was 55. Almost 2 years ago this month. It's funny, isn't it, how time passes unnoticed. The incident remains in every detail. My eldest brother, Arnold, was running the family firm in the Midlands. He'd done that ever since father died when I was a boy. Greville, who came next, was in Java. He was 7 years older than I, and I admired him. So, when the cable arrived, I was in my office in sunny San Francisco working on a sales pitch for the latest jet engine. And I was glad to be there instead of dreary post-war England. The cable spelt out the most shattering news of my life. Greville was dead. He committed suicide. The finality of the message put all thoughts of the post-mortem and the funeral from my mind. So it was a week or more before I flew back to London and drove up to the Midlands to stay with Arnold and Mary and Greville's widow, Grace. I suppose it was then that I began to feel guilty at my carelessness, my lack of thought. I should have left for home as soon as I heard the news. Suicide is always a messy business for those who are left behind. Except I didn't believe it was suicide. It took the quiet acceptance of my family to jolt me into that conclusion. Arnold and Grace calmly laid out the facts for me, almost as if they were talking about an acquaintance.
Greville was on his way home from Java, having completed an archaeological dig. Two, he stopped off in Amsterdam to deliver several cases of artifacts to the Rijksmuseum, who, with the Dutch government, had sponsored the trip. Three, he travelled with a man called Jack Buckingham, who had turned up in Java, penniless, and was befriended by Greville. After 2 days in Amsterdam, Greville jumped fully clothed into a canal. In his pocket was a letter from a woman called Leonie ending their love affair. Both Jack Buckingham and this woman Leonie have disappeared without trace.
Oh, Grace, my dear, I'm so sorry.
Once before, he had a brief love affair.
I don't think you need concern.
It's perfectly all right, Arnold. Philip has a right to know all there is. It's about 8 years ago. It was short-lived. It happened, and that was it. I think I could have tolerated 6 women rather than this. Such a dreadful waste.
I don't know how you can both be so calm and accepting. Greville wouldn't do such a thing.
You weren't there to identify the body, Philip. You didn't hear the evidence of the woman who saw him jump into the canal.
I should have come home sooner. I'm sorry.
They do say that brilliant people live at a different level, weighed down by pressure. Remember Father? And Greville had been sick, struck down by fever. His assistant, Dr. Pankel, is still recovering, and who knows? There might have been other pressures.
I can't accept any of that. Greville was a clear thinker, definitely not the sort of man to take his own life. Not because of a mild depression after a fever, nor over some broken love affair. My head throbbed with contradiction and confusion. But I was determined to find out as much as I could. I knew no one. My contacts with officialdom weren't worth a commissionaire's salute. After 2 useless interviews, I found myself on the unfashionable side of Whitehall in the office of Colonel Pole.
The case hasn't been dropped, Mr. Turner. The Dutch police are very competent. Neither they nor we will consider the case settled until at least 2 people have been traced. Whether we succeed, of course, is...
Have you any leads on them?
No. And Mr. Jack Buckingham certainly arrived on the KLM plane with Dr. Turner and registered at an hotel. But he only stayed two nights and then moved on. With the woman, we have less to go on. A Christian name.
May I see the letter?
Certainly. You'll see it's headed Hotel Grotius.
This is just to say that I'm leaving today. My dear, it's been rather a bad mess from the beginning. My fault every bit as much as yours. Oh, I know there have been times, I don't deny them, but they don't make up for what goes with it. At least, they don't for me. Everything that's happened these last 2 days makes the same point over again. If you still feel any friendship for me, please don't follow me and please don't write. I'm very sorry. Leonie.
We gather she's English. The receptionist at the hotel gave a rough description of the woman who called to see your brother. About 24, fair hair, cut short, grey-green eyes with some brown in them, slight build, about 5'6" or 7". Dr. Turner was engaged, so she said she'd wait.
And what about the woman who saw him jump into the canal?
Hermina Maas, a lady of easy virtue. But there seems no particular reason to doubt her testimony.
Well, not unless she had something to hide.
What could she have to hide? Your brother hadn't been robbed? There were no marks of violence on his body, except a cut hand and a bruise on the forehead, which could have come about in falling.
Why was the body 3 hours in the water if this woman saw him go in?
She saw it from her window. By the time she reached the street, he had disappeared. She told the police and they began a search.
And Buckingham? Do you have a description?
One of the air hostesses gave us rather imprecise information.
There must be other sources.
Not so obviously. Between ourselves, we shouldn't be displeased to trace him. There's a man called Buckingham who's been in trouble 2 or 3 times in the Near and Far East since the war. He first appeared running Jewish immigrants into Palestine.
Is he English?
We don't know. He travels on a British passport.
I want to go to Holland on Sunday. Can you give me the name of the man in charge of things over there?
I think if you'll allow me an opinion, it would be a mistake to intervene personally at this point. Our Dutch friends... Later, perhaps, you could go over and see Tolan.
Later will be too late. I've only a short time in Europe. I'm afraid what you've told me makes me more than ever sure I want to see things for myself.
Very well. Sir Derek asked me to help you in any way that I can. I'll give you a letter to Inspector Tolan, the man in charge. It might just be worth your while meeting Martin Coxon before you leave for Holland.
Who's he?
The one man we know who has met Buckingham.
My mother's taste in music leaves a lot to be desired. Well, I'm deeply sorry. I read about your brother in the paper. He was clearly a fine man.
Thank you.
You say Pole sent you. What does he want?
He thought you might help me trace Jack Buckingham.
Did he now?
I'm going to Holland tomorrow. I want all the information I can get before I start.
I'll give you what I can about Buckingham. There's precious little.
If I find him, he might lead me to someone else I'm looking for. A girl.
Well, he's about 5'8" or 9", with a short beard and brown eyes. A strong, aquiline nose. Dark hair, greying. If you still believe in things good and bad, then maybe you'd call him a bad man. He doesn't conform to any recognizable code of ethics.
Greville's letters bear that out.
Did he also say he's a thoroughly clever fellow? Intelligent, subtle. That's why no one knows much about him. He lives his own life and makes his own terms.
Did you like him?
No.
Why not?
Why does one like or dislike a man? Glandular secretions? Planets in opposition? For one thing, I prefer my fun a bit cleaner.
How did you meet?
I'd been in the RNVR, skipper to minesweeper, a corvette after that. After the war, I navigated his ship for one voyage. He was running Jews into Palestine. Will you have a whiskey?
Thanks.
So, your brother met up with Buckingham in Java.
Look, you tell me you don't like him.
I didn't when I met him. He got up my nose more than once. Why?
You wouldn't come to help me find him.
What use would I be to you?
You'd at least know Buckingham if you saw him.
He's probably hundreds of miles away by now.
Perhaps, but it's slightly less unhopeful with you than without you. Actually, Pole rather hinted at the idea.
I'm sorry, but I can't see it as a reasonable proposition.
I've never been to Amsterdam. Do you know it?
Yes, it's a good city. I first saw it when I was 18. The last time I was over there was just after the war on a piece of cloak and dagger nonsense for naval intelligence. I was in Holland for 3 weeks, mainly in Amsterdam.
All of which would make you of more use to me than you think. You know the ropes. However, I understand how you feel. Even if you had the time, why should you waste it on a stranger?
It isn't that I mind helping a stranger, but I'm recently home from Ireland and I've got 3 articles to finish for the yachtsman. If I go with you, that's 20 guineas down the drain.
Well, naturally, I could make it up to you.
A lot of things come naturally to you. Now, supposing you found Buckingham and this girl, what does it lead to?
I knew Greville. I simply don't believe he committed suicide.
Yes, I see the point of that, but there are only 2 alternatives, aren't there?
That he fell in, or... Yes, I know.
Could he swim?
Very well.
And you think he was murdered?
I want to find out.
Coxon was a man of the world. It's difficult to describe how I felt after that meeting. He seemed restless, uneasy in his mother's cramped bungalow. She had offered tea, he offered whiskey and El Toro cigars. Oh, I knew he was interested in my proposition. The next morning there was a message to say he had changed his mind. I wasn't surprised. I prepared for my departure. Grace was pleased, Arnold somewhat noncommittal. Most of us consider the possibility of suicide at some point in our lives, but not Greville. The more I talked about him, the more I remembered about him, the more certain I became. He was very sure of the worth of one's personal spirit. A man with an almost Christian outlook doesn't generally snuff out his own life. If he does, he's ramming a hole through the beliefs he has always cared most about. Our father died when I was 7. He took his own life. You'd probably guessed as much. Knowing the effect that had on his family, Greville took my view that it should be the last thing he'd do himself. In a sense, that's what clinched it for Coxon. He reckoned that anyone who feels as strongly as I did was probably right.
Your drink, sir.
I'll see Inspector Toland first. Pole gave me a letter of introduction.
You'd do far better to give it to the Seagulls. If you invite police help over this, you might as well be back in California selling jets.
I don't see why.
Is that more comfortable?
If you go to them, you'll get their facts presented in their way. I've been on their side once or twice, and I know how their minds work.
I'm open to suggestions.
You wanted something, sir?
Another whiskey, old man.
I want to keep a clear head.
Just one, then. With soda?
As it is.
I'll be right back, sir.
I've got 1 or 2 contacts dating from my last visit. Have you booked into a hotel?
No.
Then I suggest we stay with a man called Boots, if he's still there. He keeps a place off the Herrenkracht. During the war, he ran part of the underground. He knows everything and everyone.
First, I want to trace this Hermina Maas. I want to talk about what she saw.
Boots can fix that.
You drink, sir.
Already I found a copy of Handelsblatt. It gives an account.
Good man.
Here, you see? Hermina Maas of Zollenstraat 12 reported to the police.
Zollenstraat, where's that?
It is near the Oude Kerk in the district of the docks.
How far?
Oh, about 1 kilometer. A district of not good repute. It is known locally as De Walliches.
The red light district. I might have guessed. They said Hermina Maas is a prostitute, didn't they?
And how far is this street from Hotel Grotius, where my brother was staying?
Only 700 to 800 meters. But it is not a place for visitors to go.
Not what you'd call a dainty district. I've been there. Once. Would your brother go there, Philip?
No, but we'd better go this evening. As soon as it gets dark.
Quite a few changes since I was here in 33. I remember the Zaydeck and the Oude Zijde cabarets. Over the bridge, I think.
It's not very savoury, is it? It would be very difficult to scramble out of there, wouldn't it? The sides are sheer, not a railing in sight.
There's the odd barge moored. Did he drink much?
No. I mean, I never saw him drunk. Not his style.
There it is. Look. The Walliches.
What does it mean?
The little walls, according to Boots.
Business is slow. We're practically alone.
You want a girl?
Like a shopping arcade, eh? Sit in your window and display your wares.
When the blind is down, you know that work is in progress.
Hello, big boy. Bist du was frühstück?
Not bad, eh? This, I suppose, is the equivalent of Harley Street. The overspill house themselves in Wimpole Street. And if I'm not mistaken, this is Zollernstrasse.
It's a perfect view, isn't it? Hermina Mars, whoever she is, just happened to have a slack period 3 weeks ago. Her blind was up, and she saw.
Which room for Hermina Mars?
First floor, front.
Did you hear that? First floor.
Even better. Slightly elevated, looking down on the whole scene. Now that I'm here, I can place everything, where he stood, what he saw. It doesn't make it any easier to imagine what he was thinking about.
Come on. Let's see if the little lady can fill in the details.
Do you speak English?
Sure I speak English. Come in, please. Glad to know you.
Are you Hermina Mars?
Sure. You've been recommended?
No.
Hang up your coat whilst I close the blind. We don't want the whole world spying, do we?
My name is Philip Turner.
That's swell. Okay, we know who we are, so let's... Did you say Turner?
Yes, it was my brother who drowned in the canal.
That's over. It's finished.
Not quite.
It is for me. You want to know more, you go to the police. There's nothing more to say.
There is. I want to thank you. I came specially. You tried to save his life. You called for help. No one else did.
And he's still drowned. It was a waste of time. I think you should leave now.
Look, I was in America when it happened. I couldn't be here for the inquiry. I've only been back a week. That's why I'm so late in coming to thank you.
Okay.
I want you to take this for your trouble.
Keep your money.
Please.
So what else do you want?
Nothing.
Then why give me all this? You want to spend the whole night?
I wanted to talk, that's all. Look, any other time.
So, it's not often we get the good-looking one.
My brother was the good-looking one, don't you think so?
I didn't see him real close. He was out on the bridge, older than you, and thinner.
He didn't come in here, then?
No.
We haven't been able to trace the other people who were with him.
What other people?
The man and the girl. She may not have come this far, but the man was with him, surely.
Look, mister, I tell the police all I know. See? For 9 hours they ask me questions. This way and that, and all because I tried to save a man's life.
I'm sorry.
You do not know our police. Since the war, they have learned too much from the Germans.
I'm not going to the police. It's the last thing I want to do. I want to settle this in my own way.
So?
And now that I've seen you, I want next to see the man who was with my brother when he died. The man with the little beard, I mean.
I thought you came for nothing. I thought you gave me 100 guilders for nothing.
So I have. Don't tell me anything that you don't want to.
It is not just the police. I'm new here. I did not know that this is a bad house. I did not know until your brother dies. Then when I run out and call the police, they tell me they will spoil my face.
Who are they, Hermina?
Look, that night I see your brother standing on the bridge. It is 1 hour before midnight. It is a good moon. He has just come, I think. He lights a cigarette, and I think he has come for... But he just smokes, pays no attention to the girls. He walks across the bridge many times. After he's been there some time, the man comes out of here.
Oh, what's he like, this man?
How do I know? Less high than your brother. A small beard, like you say. He was around here the night before. They stop and speak. Then they quarrel.
Another cigarette?
Okay, thanks.
A fellow recommended me here. He said there was nowhere like Divalichus. He said he's been here often.
So?
Perhaps I'll come again.
Sure, big boy. Come any time.
What are you doing here?
Well, what business is it of yours?
This is one of my girls. I want to know why you ask her questions. What is your name?
Turner.
Mine is Mr. Jordan Bray. I live in these parts. We don't want any trouble round here. Mina is a good girl when she is quiet, but she is not used to being quiet, see?
I'll go when I'm ready. Wait outside for me, if you like.
Listen, I was a trainer of dogs. That is why I am patient. With fools, I am very patient. But if a dog is a fool for too long, I beat him. It is the same now, except I don't have to do it myself. You think that will help you? Mina, come away from the window.
Don't you think we're too old for this? We both stand to lose by it. I proposed a deal. The offer's still open.
What offer?
What have you been saying?
Certain things I want to know. When I know them, I'll go and trouble you no more. I want to know about Buckingham.
Buckingham? I do not know the name. Who is he?
The man who you were with the night my brother was killed.
I do not think you are very clever to say that. It is clear that my patience with you has not been rewarded. In 2 minutes, I shall be forced to throw. So, this is how it is.
This is how it is.
I was hoping you'd see the blind go up.
So you have a friend, Mr. Turner. That is interesting. It is quite simple. I just have to...
You used that whistle, and I'll flatten you.
Oh, please.
I told you, I'll leave you alone if you tell me where Buckingham is. Is he still in Holland?
Get out of here now. Go home. Go from Holland.
Was my brother murdered? Did you see him murdered from here?
No, 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 no. I saw nothing. Please, go at once.
You see what she talks? If you wish to get back to England, you will go right now.
Oh, you fool. You damn fool. He'll get you for this.
Shut up. Or I'll put you out too. Now sit down and shut up. Now, ask her your questions.
But it was no use. Between us, we'd frightened her. Jodenbrey lay on the floor unconscious, no less terrifying to Hermina Maas. Thompson found her a drink, and then we left, dragging Jodenbrey into the street. With a bit of luck, he wouldn't remember. The next morning, Inspector Tolan invited us to lunch.
I wish you had come to us yesterday, Mr. Turner. The visit you paid to the Valetiers was unwise. I'm glad you didn't come to any harm.
Look here, Inspector. If you thought we were in danger last night, why are you so sure there was no foul play in my brother's case?
Foul play leaves foul marks. The medical evidence is there for you to see.
Well, there are no other witnesses. Besides, Hermina Maas. In a place like that, surely there
must... In a place like that, where all say their blinds are down, witnesses are hard to find. But Mr. Van Renkum and myself are still trying.
Was your brother a man liable to nervous exhaustion, Mr. Turner? Did he ever take stimulants or sedatives, do you know? Phenobarbital is the universal cure-all of today. It's prescribed for every Tom, Dick and Harry, and it's not hard to obtain.
He was neither a drunkard or a drug addict.
No, I don't at all mean that. But the more brilliant a man is, the more highly strung. The danger of barbiturates is loss of memory, which can lead to an overdose.
Do you have any news of this man Buckingham?
I'm afraid Yaskata isn't being very communicative.
What Inspector Tolan means is that Holland and Indonesia have an uneasy relationship since the war.
However, we send a man to Yaskata. He returns tomorrow.
We know about Buckingham in Java. What we want to find is where Buckingham is now.
Surely. And your description will be added to ours. Already, our man has cabled news. We know what he was doing before he met Dr. Turner. He was running armed from the Philippines. His ship was holed by government planes and Buckingham lost everything. Your brother is a charitable man. He takes him in. When his assistant is taken ill, Buckingham takes over. When Dr. Turner comes home, he pays Buckingham's fare as well. But in Amsterdam, Dr. Turner dies and Buckingham disappears. The girl, too.
Do you know a man called Jodenbrey?
A man who lives in the Oude Kerksplein. You meet him last night?
Yes.
He's not a good character. He has influence in all that district. Do not accept his friendship.
I don't think it was being offered.
Mr. Turner, you must meet my man coming from Yakarta when he returns.
Tell us about Jodenbrey. Have you questioned him?
Jodenbrey has many witnesses to say he was far away that night.
Which suggests he was lying.
Not necessarily.
I'm only an observer, but the more I see, the less I think it was suicide. If he'd shot himself in his bedroom, well, that's one thing. But to choose that area, amongst men like Jodenbrey, no. I don't buy it. If the girl hadn't seen him, he could have disappeared altogether.
But the testimony is quite straightforward.
She was fool enough to talk when everyone else was silent. She lives in terror of her life.
And what about the letter?
It doesn't convince me of anything.
Whatever you might think, gentlemen, I think there is much danger if either of you act on your own. You understand me?
Tolan tried to extract promises from us that we would leave things alone. I flatly refused. Before he left, he said that Count Louis Joachim expected me for dinner the following night. Coxon was angry. It came as a huge relief that the attempt to halt our investigation made Coxon even keener to pursue the trail. His perversity was almost endearing. I took time off to know him better.
His father had been the younger son of a Scottish peer, and Lottie Bernstein, the actress. He died at 35. But Coxon remember going to stay with his grandfather, Lord Callard, in Fife. After dinner, we went our separate ways. I slept badly, and faced the first bombshell of the new day.
I'm sorry to let you down like this, old man.
Oh, it can't be helped. Please give your mother my best wishes.
If she weren't such an old lady in every sense of the word, I wouldn't have given it a second thought.
Burglary is nasty, however old you are.
Well, thanks for the lift.
Thank you for your help.
Wish I could have been more useful. Look, if anything crops up, do wire me and I'll come back.
Thanks, Martin.
Whatever comes out of this, I think it might be worth keeping in touch.
Thanks, I'll remember that. Bombshell number two. I rang Tolan, and he said that his manager, Carter, had been delayed for a further 3 or 4 days. I spent the best part of the day sifting through the full police and medical evidence, assisted by a polite young policeman. There was nothing new to glean. I got back to the hotel early and wrote a letter to Dr. Pankar, Greville's assistant. Perhaps he could enlighten me on Greville's last days in Java, and his relationship with Jack Buckingham. I was dressing for dinner when someone knocked on my door.
Commander Coxon?
Well?
You are Commander Coxon?
Yes.
Sir, Mr. Lowenthal informed me that there was information you wished to purchase. Sir, you know him?
Of course.
You wish to know about a certain lady who left the country on the 30th of March?
Yes. I do.
I was promised 200 guilders.
I'll pay if the information is what I want.
She left Holland on March the 30th at 21:15 hours on KL flight number 341 for Rome.
See? The money.
Ah.
Go on.
Her address in Rome was given as Hotel Agostini, Via Quirinale 21.
Is she still in Rome?
That, of course, I do not know.
And her name?
Her name? Helen Joyce Winter.
Mrs. or Miss?
A Mrs.
British?
Yes, sir.
And the man?
The man, sir?
Wasn't there a man with her?
To the best of my knowledge, she travelled alone.
What else?
Nothing.
All right, I know. You want your money.
Good evening, sir.
So, Martin Coxon's inquiries, it seemed, had not been useless after all. I had to resist an urge to cancel all appointments there and then and head after Helen Winter. But I reasoned that the jigsaw had too many pieces in all directions that must not be ignored. Count Louis Joachim was kind and courteous to me, and judging by the archaeological artifacts in his house, I could see why he valued Greville's friendship. More than that, he described Greville as a mature man of great promise. He was ripe for big things. So I asked him to explain Greville's death. I was shaken by his response. That a man of high ideals, with a great capacity for goodness such as Greville, sometimes has not the spiritual ambiguity to compromise. He cannot or he will not. They must conquer or die who have no retreat. I left with an uneasy feeling that yet again I was being asked to accept the verdict of suicide. The next day, I flew to England, having made a big decision about my own future. It's all settled, Arnold. I told my boss that I'm through with my job. He's agreed to have my last month's salary cabled to me in dollars abroad.
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
No, but I know I won't rest until I know why Greville died and how. There are just too many imponderables.
Oh, there's something I should mention. Most of Greville's stuff was meant for the Rijksmuseum, but a few things at his own discretion were to come with him to England. All these were flown back on the plane with him to Amsterdam.
Was there much?
Well, 4 small packing cases for the museum and 1 for himself. When he died, the Dutch police impounded all 4 packing cases temporarily in order to help them with their inquiries. Now, these have now been released to us. His ordinary things came to the house, but the 5th packing case went to Professor Little at the British Museum.
Did you see the contents?
Well, I had a letter from Little today. He says the case was 2/3 empty.
You mean the Dutch had lifted the rest of the sum?
Well, apparently. We don't know why. Unless they felt that Greville's death put an end to the special agreement.
What does Professor Little think of the stuff that's gone to him?
Not a lot. But he's forwarded Greville's notes. They're in the family shorthand. Do you want them?
Yes, of course.
Little would like a full transcription, if you can manage it. I'm dashed if I can remember the code.
I'll take them with me to Rome.
Ah, this is the information you want, signore. Mrs. Helen Winter spent the night of the 4th of April at the Hotel Vesuvio.
Only one night?
Yes. She left for Capri the following day and registered there at the Hotel Vecchio.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There is a boat leaving at 2:30.
Shall I close the shutters, sir?
No, I want to take in the view.
This hotel has the finest position in Capri.
It's a pity Mrs. Winter decided to move to another hotel.
Oh, no, sir. She didn't go to another hotel. She liked the Vecchio very much.
Did she leave a message for me, or did she forget?
No, sir. I shouldn't say...
Of course you shouldn't, but dear Helen is such a scatterbrain.
She said if there was mail, it should be forwarded care of Madame Weber, Villa Attorney.
Oh, good, I thought she might. Am I too late for dinner?
Not at all, sir.
It occurred to me how well I was picking up Martin Coxon's knack of extracting information, painlessly. Going out in Capri after dark is always a secretive business. I went in the direction I'd been told, and after losing my way twice, came on a couple of stone gateposts. Villa Atrani.
Now, that is putting temptation in the way of me.
You are very rash. You are both very rash.
Oh, I don't believe you even thought of it before, did he, Jane?
Well, I guess he never thought of it in my presence.
Well, certainly not in mine.
Macy! Macy! Don't you dare go out of the grounds, dear.
Good dog. Good dog.
Macy! Gimble! Don't you dare go out of the garden.
Gimble, good dog.
Who's there?
Are you all right, Madam Webber?
Well, I am, Naomi, darling. Macy and Gimble being naughty. They know they're not allowed in the overgrown bits of the garden. Oh, provoking. Well, one never knows. One might meet a snake.
Oh, so that's what I am.
Go on. Your mistress wants you.
I walked back to the hotel and had a few minutes more conversation with the manageress. She told me that Madame Weber was a well-known character on the island and fostered local painting, which, indirectly, is why I'm sitting here now painting you. Oh, you look so comfortable, I might as well continue.
At last you come to the juicy bit, and you dismiss me as someone who fosters local painting.
Oh, now you've spoiled it, spoiled the mood.
Well, then stop for today, my dear. My old bones are beginning to seize up. And just promise me that when you continue, you lump me with the others. Makes it all the more dashed exciting for me.
So, I learned about Madame Weber from the hotel receptionist. Later, I spent an hour deciphering and writing out Greville's notes. The code Father had invented for us was complicated, but ensured privacy. On the 5th page, there was a reference to Buckingham. Buckingham is a man of many talents, but with a philosophy at once egocentric and destructive. Well, Greville obviously reveled in Buckingham's company. He loved any opportunity to argue about man's condition. In the morning, I decided to follow the instincts of a holidaymaker. At some point, I would be bound to find myself in close proximity with the guests of Madame Weber. There were enough of them, for goodness sake. I bought swimming trunks and queued for the bus in the noisy square. I recognized the dark man from the garden and the 2 laughing girls. The shape of Lanny Winter's head was unmistakable. On the beach, I kept my distance, but on the bus back,
I jostled through the crush so that we were a breathing distance apart. She looked at me once and then ignored me. What now? This could all take weeks. But an hour later, I had my first real stroke of luck. There, tied to a lamppost, were two old friends, Macy and Gimble.
Hello, my friends. Remember me?
Behave yourselves. Why, do apologize, sir.
Oh, think nothing of it. I thought they looked lonely.
You're English. I might have guessed. Shape of the head gives you away. I shouldn't have brought them. They're banned from the bank. You're interested in mastiffs?
I used to have one.
Not as popular as they used to be. I've a couple more at the villa. Go along, boys. Maybe we shall meet again, Mr. Rowe.
Philip Norton is my name. Yes, I hope so.
Everybody meets everybody on this island sooner or later. Just like a Paul Jones. Are you staying long?
Oh, about a week, I suppose. I want to do a little painting.
Who? You're an artist.
Only in my spare time.
The island's a magnet. Look here. I suppose you're not free this evening. A few people are coming for drinks.
Have you actually...
Oh, Leonie, darling, let me introduce Philip Norton. This is Mrs. Winter.
How do you do?
Hello. Mr. Norton is a distinguished artist staying a few days. Breeds dogs. Oh, and Captain Sandberg, a very dear old friend.
Oh, but of course, I remember seeing you this morning in a fine motor yacht at the Piccolo Marina.
You see, Charlotte, we've become notorious, I and my sample. Already I'm a marked man.
It's Charles's new love, Mr. Norton. I christened her 2 weeks ago. She doesn't live up to her name, though. It's the men she's after.
Well, she's been waiting for me since January.
I hope you'll let me see her sometime.
Of course.
Charles is taking some of us out tomorrow afternoon. Let's all be seated together.
I'd like to, if Captain Sandberg...
Well, of course.
You've been away.
Away?
You said your yacht had been waiting since January.
Oh, yes. I've been out of the district for a time.
I wanted to pursue this mild questioning of Sandberg, but Madame Weber dragged me off to meet disparate guests. A bald, elderly Scotsman called Kyle, the master of Kyle, Jane Porringer, the American girl I'd seen in the garden with Leonie, and her companion, Niccolo da Cossa, to whom I took an immediate dislike. Leonie, I chose to ignore. She played the same game. It was years since I'd picked up a paintbrush. If I was to perpetuate the myth, I should make an effort to look at the paintings on the walls.
Admiring my pictures? Niccolo painted that one. Fireworks. Ah. My late husband had a passion for fireworks. Niccolo's very talented, don't you think? Do you work in pastel, Mr. Norton?
It's very impressive. No, I generally work in oils.
For landscape work?
For all work. Portraits as well.
You should paint Leonie, Philip.
If I were to paint anyone I've seen so far, it would be you.
Dear boy, that's quite the nicest thing. But I'm a sick woman. I've been for years. I came here to die. And I've been here ever since. You don't want to paint a woman who's been living for 16 years with an anticlimax.
Most painters like qualities that need no pretense. Lives of distinction and the marks of knowing about life and how to live it.
Philip, how nice you are. Niccolo, we've been admiring your fireworks.
Oh, that is too kind. It is, of course, the Faraglioni rock, seen from the Certosa Monastery.
It's a very fine piece of work. Am I the first aboard, Captain?
You are indeed. Join me for a drink.
Thank you. She's beautiful.
My pride and joy.
You're Italian, I take it.
What makes you ask?
Oh, idle curiosity.
Do you think curiosity is ever idle?
Hadn't occurred to me. You speak English almost without an accent.
I belong to no country entirely. I am my own country. I make my own laws and rule over myself. My kingdom is 40 feet of deck, and my frontiers, the horizon.
Do you issue your own passport?
You don't appreciate figures of speech?
On the contrary, the idea sounds good, and I was thinking of the practical obstacles.
Well, obstacles are made to be overcome. Buy yourself a yacht and see.
Find me the money and I will.
Ah, yes, the money. But isn't that only another obstacle? If the need is sufficient...
The way can be found? Does it follow?
Usually one continues, one takes special measures, however unpalatable.
In what way unpalatable?
All work is unpalatable to me, Mr. Norton, as it is to any civilized human being. Otherwise it wouldn't be work, but play. That's the difference.
Most civilized people would agree with you, but don't know how to avoid it.
Why should they? If they did, they would be miserable for lack of contrast. Balance and proportion are the things that matter. And what of yourself? Do you find painting profitable as well as palatable? I should have thought not.
You thought right.
Though I imagine as a hobby it can be useful at times.
Everything is useful in its proper place.
And where is your proper place, Mr. Norton? Not on Capri.
Only for as long as I choose to stay.
And then?
Rather depends what happens while I'm here.
I thought it might. Let me give you a word of advice. Don't stay too long. The climate is enervating. A week should be long enough for a conscientious artist.
I'll give it some thought.
I hope during this week you'll come to believe many things. Among them...
Among them?
Madame Weber is given to foolish friendship.
I should need little convincing of that.
Don't trade on it. The others have come. Shall we go up?
Where are we heading for?
This afternoon, for Amalfi, I think. Madame Weber has a property there.
I've not been in the Gulf of Salerno since 43.
During the war?
I was in one of the destroyers covering the landings. Didn't see much of the view. I was in the engine room. Tell me, what does it feel like to be a beautiful woman?
What do you mean?
Perhaps you'll think I'm being impolite, but... You give me the impression of being unapproachable. Is that what you really feel? Or is it something put on more or less in self-defense?
Well, if you tell me what other women say, I'll try and keep in step.
I've never asked anyone else. No, seriously, you must be so used to admiration. Well, you give that impression anyway.
Do I?
What I mean is, I wonder if people who are so very good to look at realize the pull they have all the time, everywhere, practically all through their lives. There isn't the same need to build a relationship to impress, because it's done for them. It comes as part of their birthright.
It's an interesting point of view. But you think, supposing that I do have beauty, that I misuse it?
I didn't mean it quite like that. I was only wondering how far your use of it was instinctive and what it must feel like to have it.
I think both your questions are assuming rather a lot.
Perhaps they are. We came into the Bay of Amalfi. Sandberg and Madame Weber were met by an elderly car. Niccolo da Cossa had brought his easel and set it up on the quay. Jane Porringer squatted on a stool by his side. That left Leonie, the master of Kyle, and myself. Then, by luck, he went into a woodcarver's shop, but Leonie wandered on. I followed her at a little distance. She'd been in a gift shop for some minutes before I stepped in, to find her chatting in a hodgepodge of English and Italian to a fat old woman nursing an infant. Leonie, on impulse, was showing her snaps. We walked out into the sunshine together. You have children of your own?
No.
Oh, those photographs?
No, they were my younger sisters. Well, my half-sisters.
May I see them?
Some other time, perhaps.
Where's your husband now?
Which one?
The current one.
I haven't a current one. I'm sorry. Do you mind telling me just what you really want?
Well, I should like to know you better. Do you find that very surprising?
Yes, in a way. What do you want to know?
May I call you Leonie?
I thought that would have been taken for granted. Everything else has.
Ah, you think I'm rushing my fences?
Don't you?
Would it surprise you if I told you I've never made this sort of approach to a woman before?
I believe we should go back now. Charles said that they wouldn't be long.
Charles Sandberg is a lucky man to own such a fine yacht.
He is, isn't he?
Your old friends, I suppose.
No.
Are you staying long in Italy?
I haven't decided. And you?
Well, I don't know how long I shall be able to stay. I have some business commitments.
Oh, don't they include painting Charlotte Weber?
Oh, you've heard. Your friend da Cossa has all the talents of a backstage gossip. I wonder what Jane Porringer sees in him.
What does anyone see in anyone? Are you married?
Not even once. I did intend to be, but things didn't work out. So my record is modest compared with yours.
Oh, yes, the record. dossier, perhaps. Is that a better word? They'll be waiting for us.
I have to say that if I'd come out with any preconceived ideas about Leonie Winter, the afternoon had killed them stone dead. In my early thoughts, the woman in the case had been a shadow, impersonal, conventionalized. She was anything but a shadow now. After dinner, I wrote to Coxon. I told him I'd located Leonie and almost certainly Jack Buckingham. I asked him to join me so that he could identify him. I enclosed a check. Charlotte Webber wanted me to make a start on the sketches for her painting, but before I went up to Villa Atrani next morning, I did some more of Greville's notes. He wrote of Buckingham, "I have never met anyone like B, and he says same of me. Used to think he put on pose of representing new morality. Now I wonder if he is sincere. He argues that what is called crime is as biologically natural as birth, death, and that in the near and enlightened future it will no longer be an integral part of human behaviour. Truthfulness will be a convenience used only when the facts can't be denied." I tell him that these arguments he advances are as modern and progressive as Nineveh and Ur. Every tyrant from Sennacherib to Hitler has used them. In fact, B is nobody's fool, and I sometimes wish I could feel more convinced of my own arguments.
Keep that position, it's good. Tell me about Leonie Winter. Have you known her long?
Dear Leonie, I first met her in Cannes just after the war. She was representing Great Britain in some swimming contest. She was 17 or 18, I suppose. Did you ever hear of Leonie Hardwick? I kept on inviting her to stay. She never would.
Well, maybe she was too busy with one of her husbands.
Husbands? No, I'm the one with the husbands. Leonie's only had one so far.
Really? What happened to him?
He died. It was that bad summer in England for polio. They all caught it. Leonie got over it quickly. Just left her with a slight stammer. But Tom Winter and the baby both died. It was dreadful.
Do you mind bringing your head up?
I rather lost sight of the dear girl until she wired me to know if she could come and stay.
And Captain Sandberg?
Look, can I move my shoulder? I'm having cramp.
Oh, move about a bit if you like. I wondered if you'd known him long.
Oh, God, yes. A lifetime, dear Charles. So kind. He's so reassuring.
Does he live here all the time?
I'd say not. He's been away all winter. Have you ever done a self-portrait?
Oh, no. I don't think it would be very interesting.
After a while, she excused herself. The dogs needed exercising. It was curious how reluctant she was to speak of Captain Sandberg. Was there something she knew? The villa was quiet, apart from the murmur of servants in the nether regions. I went upstairs. To begin ransacking a strange house at midday is probably not the most cautious of moves, but all day I'd felt the need to force the pace. I found Leonie's bedroom. On a stool, I saw a Rev Air suitcase. The KLM label said Amsterdam to Rome. I flipped back the lid. The case was a quarter full. I ran rapidly through the pocket of papers. Map of Rome. Receipted hotel bills. One for Hotel Dolan, Amsterdam. Passport. Then an unlauded hanky caught my eye. There was Greville's familiar monogram. GT. On the dressing table was an unfinished letter. I scanned it quickly. Dear Mummy, been here a fortnight. Feel so much better. I believe I'm seeing things straight for the first time. One good thing, Holland ended everything. Perhaps it was better that way. With Greville's swollen body floating in the canal, with his wife bereaved and all the promise of his career flung away.
I fear Leonie has little valuable jewellery. Perhaps I can direct you to Madame Webber's room.
Has she something better? Oh, of course you'll know about that.
Oh, I know about it. But I'm not a thief. I do not abuse the hospitality of my friends.
Well, I've finished here. Let's go down and drink a sherry while we discuss it.
There's nothing to discuss, Signor. Except how quickly you can get off this island.
What are you doing here yourself?
Sometimes
I have a migraine. Now, please, go down. I will follow. Sherry?
Thank you. I shall tell Madame Weber, of course, as soon as she comes in. I think perhaps I shall leave it with her. Well, if she tells Leone.
Oh, you're not going to call the police, then?
Oh, why be vindictive?
Especially when you have no proof. In fact, it's your word against mine.
Oh, she and I are old friends. Besides, what have I to gain?
Oh, I think we both know. That picture? It's not yours, is it?
Well, look for yourself. It's signed. What more is it that you want?
To have seen you paint it. Style is too florid for my taste. But it's painted by a man who knows every trick in the trade. I saw your feeble attempts on the key yesterday.
How dare you?
You wanted to impress Madame Weber, didn't you? A wealthy woman is useful to a struggling artist.
And the proof?
Your word against mine.
What were you doing in Leone's room?
Not stealing.
Well, that's fine. You've decided to stay on, Philip. We need another man at lunch.
Leone looked surprised to see me, and for a second, not too sure of herself. At the table, I persuaded her to scrap the record and begin again. I asked her to join me for a walk after lunch. Tell me, was it photographs of your half-sisters you were showing that woman yesterday?
I rather supposed you'd ask Charlotte.
You lost your husband and child. Wife was on a terrific act for my benefit.
It wasn't an act. I didn't think you really wanted to know.
No, I see that. I'm sorry.
Thank you for saying one sincere thing, Philip. I do have half-sisters, in spite of your mistrustful mind, but I work, and I have my own flat.
And you swim?
Yes. I hate to think how much you'll know by the end of the portrait.
You haven't the arms one expects of a swimmer.
Well, you have old-fashioned ideas in some things, if not in others. Oh, wouldn't you like to jump off a place like this?
Not much.
It's the love diving, and it would be that sensation you get, wouldn't it? Only 100 times more so, like an arrow falling.
At this distance, you blunt the point.
Yes, pity.
It might be worth trying sometime when you're tired of life. It would certainly be more dramatic than dying in bed. Or, for that matter, in some back street or dirty canal.
Ah, so. That explains everything.
Explains what?
You are a relative of his.
His brother. Did you suspect it?
Oh, of course. You're so like him, you're younger. But your eyes and your voice are... Well, tell me what you want to know, then I can go.
How he died?
I know nothing about that.
You mean you don't know how it happened?
I mean, I know nothing about it.
We can talk about it quietly.
No.
Don't you think I'm entitled to ask?
I don't think you're entitled to go about it in the way you have. If you wanted to know about Greville, it wasn't necessary to...
How was I to know what you'd be like? He'd never even mentioned you to me.
Well, he didn't have much chance.
When did you first meet him? Leone, you must tell me.
In Holland, a month ago.
You're telling me that you met Greville for the first time only a few days before his death?
Well, of course I am. What do you think?
Well, I think it's impossible.
Well, you can think what you like, of course.
Listen, how can you expect me to swallow that? How do you explain the letter?
What letter?
The one that was found on him, that said that everything was over between you.
I didn't know any letter was found on him. Do you mean the one that I wrote?
Didn't you leave it for him before you left?
No. Well, yes, I... But was that how you traced me?
Partly.
So you thought
What do you suppose I should think?
Oh, it's beyond belief. Do the police know about it?
Of course.
Do they think it had something to do with his death?
They think Greville committed suicide because of his love affair with a woman called Leone, which she ended by writing him that letter.
And do you believe that?
No, I never have. At least, knowing Greville. I didn't believe it was possible until I saw you.
Well, what difference did that make?
It occurred to me that over a woman like yourself, it was just on the cards. You don't deny writing the letter.
Of course not.
Why did you write it?
If I told you, you wouldn't believe me.
Supposing you try. You must tell me. It's vital.
I knew Greville barely 2 days. I'm certain when he died, he hadn't even read the letter.
Did you believe he killed himself?
Well, I wasn't on the spot or near it. If I had been, I...
Why didn't you go to the police and make a statement as soon as you heard, if you've nothing to hide?
I didn't hear of it until I was in Naples, and I didn't say that I had nothing to hide.
Look, my dear, we've got to get this straight. If you don't answer me, you'll have to answer to the police.
Do they know where I am?
Not yet.
But you're going to tell them?
It depends.
I couldn't help them, Philip.
We could decide that better if you told me what you know.
I don't think I can. It involves someone else, and I...
It involves someone else?
Yes. Philip, look, I didn't know. Please, give me time. I must think. I really didn't know the police had found the letter. Give me until tomorrow to think.
Hello, you two.
Oh, damn.
Wonderful weather for a walk. May I join you?
Enjoy the scenery, Mr. Norton. Take in as much as you can before you leave.
Martin cabled that he was on his way, so I went over by the morning boat to meet him at the Capodichino airport.
So, you found both the girl and Buckingham?
I'm certain about the girl, reasonably sure about Buckingham, but I need your identification. I'd hoped to hold everything up until you came, but it didn't work out.
She's given you no explanation of why she wrote the letter?
Not yet.
That's rather trusting of you, isn't it? Surely the first thing she'll do is tell Buckingham.
It doesn't matter about me. Only you can identify Buckingham, and they know nothing about you.
Tell me about Holland, Tolan. And the man you think is Buckingham?
Sandberg, Captain Charles Sandberg. We've been invited to the villa for drinks this evening. I asked if I could bring a friend. You'll meet him then.
Philip, my dear, will you take this to the Master of Kyle? He'll take nothing but scotch.
Of course. Where's Lenny?
Upstairs, lying down. She wasn't well this afternoon, but she'll be down later. She promised. Oh, dear Mr. Wheatley, how kind of you to come.
Kyle, did you say Kyle?
Yes, that bald old chap by the window.
By God, yes, it's the same. I used to know him well. I thought he'd been cremated long ago.
Come over with me. We'd better keep together.
Something of a crush, eh?
Mr. Kyle, may I present Martin Coxon?
Coxon? What, Martin Coxon? Lord Coward's grandson? Why didn't you say so?
It must be over a decade, sir.
I trust you've settled down since the war. I read you were up for the DSO. You were a wild lad. I remember you.
I'm sorry you're not well.
Oh, only a touch of the sun. I really don't need your sympathy.
This is my friend, Commander Coxon, Mrs. Winter.
Philip has been talking of you, Mrs. Winter. I've been admiring your lovely island this evening.
Well, not ours. The title deeds go back to Augustus. Could you get me a drink, Philip? I need one badly.
Of course. If I may, thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Martin!
Our hostess beckons. Excuse me.
Where's Captain Sandberg this evening?
He went out in his yacht, fishing.
I'd hoped he'd be here.
What does it matter? He hates cocktail parties.
What do you think of my friend?
Very charming. Have you invited him to search my bedroom, too?
I'm sorry. I had to. You must remember, my brother is dead.
Excuse me.
I thought it was you, Philip. Are you coming with us in the morning?
Where?
To the Blue Grotto. I've never been, you know.
Well, who's going?
Oh, Niccolo and Leone. Captain Sandberg is lending us his small boat.
Count me in.
Good. That's fine. We've all agreed to be down at the Piccolo Marina at 5:30 prompt. Sorry we can't extend the invitation to your friend. The boat's too small.
I decided to turn in early and read more of Greville's notes. Buckingham had nursed him through his fever. During his convalescence, they had argued long and hard about the defeat of the human spirit. Greville wrote, "These last weeks, our talks and arguments together seem to have become of greater importance than the excavations." I didn't sleep well. At about 4:45, I got up, shaved and dressed, and then started off. It was still very dark, and a heavy cloud hung over the island. When I arrived, they were arguing.
Ah, here he comes. Good morning, Philip. I'm sorry to say there's a dispute. Are you weather-wise, darling?
Scarcely ever.
Oh, Nicola refuses to go because of the weather.
There's a storm coming. I know the signs well.
If there's a thunderstorm, it shouldn't hurt us.
The wind will get up. You think because the sea is calm, it is always calm? Nothing is less true.
I suppose I should know. But I surely do hate to give up after all the effort of an early rise.
What does Leone think?
Leone thinks we should go.
I agree.
Jane must not go. It's not safe.
Make up your minds. Are you coming, Leone?
You think that would be a good idea?
I think it would be a good idea.
Enjoy your breakfast! Is it much further?
No, I don't think so.
The others were frightened off by the weather, but not you, Lenny. Why did you agree to come this morning?
Why shouldn't I have?
Well, I thought you might want to sidestep a private meeting.
You still puzzle me, Philip. I wish you'd tell me something more about yourself first. Well, tell me at least one thing.
What's that?
Why do you feel so strongly about all this, about your brother's death?
That doesn't seem unnatural to me.
No, it's not unnatural. Not if it was just grief. But is it grief? There seems to be something else as well.
You're perceptive.
I don't know. Oh, there's the opening. Beyond this next rock.
The water's getting more blue. And more blue. It's incandescent.
Oh, it's like shot silk.
Tiberius used this cave, didn't he?
There used to be a way up from inside the cave to his villa, and there are still some steps. Why did you say that just now about my being perceptive?
It's true. Noticing what you have noticed so quickly.
It was only a feeling.
When I was 7, my father shot himself. From then on, Greville did everything for me. People used to say I was like him. Not merely in looks, but in impulses and tendencies. They said I was like my father, too. So, when they both die, apparently by the same fashion, that's both barrels at once, as you might say.
I am sorry.
Oh, I don't believe for a minute that Greville killed himself. But if he did, and if what you've told me so far is true, no motive that we know of existed at all.
I don't think I can be as frank as that.
You can. It's whether you want to be.
I think I'll have a swim. I came prepared. If I tell you as much as I can, will you cut all this and leave?
I'm not sure I can do that. Go on, have your swim.
She swam easily, lazily, as if water came naturally to her. Every movement was outlined by incandescence, but it was etherealized, intellectualized above and beyond ordinary sexual attraction. She was more like something out of the brain of Praxiteles. I felt shaken, deeply moved.
There isn't anything I can say to you now that won't sound forced and phony.
Well, I don't think it was ever phony. Forced, perhaps. Let's go. The rain won't matter.
No. The rain won't matter. Oh, Leonie.
Philip, don't.
In case of doubt, this is the other reason I won't leave.
If that was true...
It's true.
Oh.
Oh, God, if Greville didn't commit suicide because of you, I could. What is it, Leonie? Why are you like this? You say nothing, give nothing, take nothing.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not being fair, I know. Look, when Tom and Richard died, I let go of the reins a bit. And in a sort of drift, I met a man. And from the beginning, he appealed to something. Recklessness, perhaps. He didn't run to a pattern. I think he has the kind of imagination that can get inside someone else's mind and interest itself in what he finds there. It could be a great gift. It is. But dangerous. Anyway, we teamed up.
I see.
Then there were hitches over money. He's not exactly dishonest, but he acts as if he's above ordinary rule. And he went off to the Far East. I heard nothing except 2 letters in 12 months. Then he asked me to meet him in Amsterdam. I had to go. I hoped he changed. but he hadn't.
Was Greville with him?
Yes. And he was travelling under another name.
Buckingham.
Yes. I could tell Greville was sincere, even though I'd only just met him, but Buckingham, well, the false name for a start. I knew he was going to cheat somehow. I could tell the signs, and I wanted no part of it. Well, the rest you know.
You mean that your letter was meant for Buckingham? But how did it get into Greville's pocket?
I gave it to him to give to Buckingham. I couldn't face seeing him again. He talked of a lot of money and wanted me to join him.
Did Greville look worried?
Yes. He said he was waiting for Buckingham.
What, nothing else?
As it is, I've said too much.
Did you tell him you were going to talk to me?
What do you mean?
He's on the island, isn't he?
If telling you anything more would bring your brother back, Philip, but it won't. And you have your life to lead.
You're trying to protect us both, aren't you?
Oh, probably.
He could be a murderer. Do you realize that?
Please, please don't.
And yet you shield him.
Stop it. I've told you as much as I can. If you want to call the police, then call them. I can't say any more. I can't.
Martin was finishing his breakfast when I got back. I was feeling pretty low. When I told him about Leonie, he suggested we were stalemate and might make better progress if we returned to Holland. I told him there were things to finish here first. He went off to the beach then, whilst I sorted out my finances before going to the bank. There was a letter from Greville's assistant, Dr. Pankar, waiting for me in reception. I stuffed it into my pocket for later reading. Later, on the beach, I saw the usual crowd sunbathing. There was no sign of Martin. And then, suddenly, I noticed that he was deep in conversation with Leonie. They were sitting on a rock, still glistening from a swim. I decided not to join them. He might, in some roundabout way, get information out of her that I'd failed to get. I lay back in the sun to think. And then I remembered the letter from Dr. Pankhal in answer to the letter I had written in Holland. Dear Sir, I thank you for your letter. I submit my condolences. You question me in some length, referring to Mr. Jack Buckingham. I will try to describe him in the best ability that I can. He might be 40, bearded, tall in build and spare. His hair is nearly black and straight. His face is long with strong bones. His eyes, looking brown in the sun, black out of it like olive stones. His forearms are hairy and he has two moles on the left forearm. When he smiles, the sadness that was often there goes from his face, and warmth and sympathy are in it. Sometimes I think it is like the devil smiling, flattering to deceive. Many people he impresses, and Dr. Turner is much taken with him. When he is excited or when he sings, his hair falls over his eyes and he pushes it away with the first two fingers of his right hand. I folded the letter and put it back in my pocket. Leonie strolled across the beach to join me.
I didn't see you come down.
About 10 minutes ago.
You look pale.
I've just been to sleep. We're coming to dinner tonight, aren't we?
Oh, I believe so.
Not to swim in the lead of the current, we're almost to sink. You're a trifle too fast for me in the water, Mrs. Winter. Not swimming, Philip.
In a minute. Will the boat be all right in the main harbour, Leonie? I feel responsible for it.
Charles is back. He's sending a man to pick it up.
So Charles is back. That's Sandberg, isn't it?
That's Sandberg. I watched Martin push his black hair away from his eyes. It was all there, as Dr. Pankhal had described, even to the moles on his forearm. The original hunch, scarcely more than a wisp of suspicion at first, and twice since discarded, had been right after all.
Jane, dear, now if you sit there, Commander Coxon is there. I think Piccolo, I'm going to separate.
Oh, Mrs. Webber.
No, come on.
I hope you enjoyed the grotto, Mr. Norton.
Thanks, it was very impressive. Your boat was safe?
Yes, please don't hesitate to use it again. Any time.
Thank you.
That's right, Philip. Tony Arpad's here.
Lovely, thank you.
You must see Captain Sandberg's yacht, Martin. I imagine the sea is the first woman in both your lives.
Happily, our mistress has no locked doors and no other appointments, so jealousy is out of play.
It doesn't all follow. I'm jealous of any man with the money and the freedom to exploit her. I've always found the sea a harlot. She gives her best to the highest bidder.
It's practically unheard of on the island. Normal sin is rare.
I never understand what is meant by abnormality these days. Has not psychiatry shown all behaviour to be, simple variations on the same theme?
I've always believed that psychoanalysis was all my eye. Let's just be serious for a moment. Martin, for instance, argues for a return to anarchy and all that entails. Now, does he do it for the sake of argument, to provoke, to shock?
No, I think it's an inevitable trend.
It's true to say there are a few men who really disagree with the rules the rest of us accept. They're not abnormal, and yet they become criminals from deliberate choice. What are we going to do about them?
Yes, boy, those are the people the psychiatrists are most used to.
The crime you call senseless is probably only senseless to you. But crime is just as biologically normal as walking down a street. Murder can be an expression of a man's personality. So, perhaps, can suicide. Only in that case, he's like the bee and allowed only one sting.
Lenny, I want to apologise for getting in your light so much in the last few days.
Oh, I thought we'd sorted that out.
This is the postscript.
Well, have you decided to write off the search for you?
Yes, I have.
Really?
Partly, anyway. But I've got to go back to Holland for a few days. Inspector Tolan wants to see me.
Oh?
They're now in possession of fresh data. Apparently it's confidential.
Well, I wonder what that means.
That's what I'm going to find out. In the meantime, I'm going to leave Martin Coxon to look after you. I wondered whether I'd been too heavy-handed in dropping snippets of information to Leonie, and more particularly to Martin. I told him that Pankhal's letter had arrived and that Pankhal didn't much like Buckingham. I couldn't sleep. I was worried about Leonie. I really didn't want to leave her. I didn't ever want to leave her. The curtains moved slightly as Martin climbed in over the balcony. I shut my eyes. Faint rustlings suggested he was looking for something. Pankhal's letter. But it was safely under my pillow. In due course, he left. I never for one moment thought that he meant to harm me. I mused on that before drifting off to sleep. On the ferry to Naples, I met the master of Kyle. I questioned him about Martin's childhood. I learned that he might have expected to inherit from his grandfather's estate. That he didn't made him bitter.
Oh, charm, yes, no doubt. But you judge a tree by its fruit, and his has been bitter. There's always been a darkness to him, a pessimism, even in his youth. Well, you heard him the other night. Always was a destroyer, a puller down of good things.
When I got to Schiphol, Tolan had sent a car to meet me.
I think I must plunge in and tell you what is the worst from your point of view. We now have evidence to bear out what Hermina Maas told us.
Yes?
Yes, Mr. Turner. I know you did not believe that he had jumped into the canal, but we have another witness, a harbor official.
Briefly, what he says is that he saw your brother talking to someone on the bridge. They separated, and your brother stood for a moment watching the other man out of sight. Then he stepped onto the parapet and jumped into the canal.
Why didn't this witness come forward before?
He feared for his family's safety. You may talk to him yourself. You'll see how circumstances have changed.
Indeed. There is much to explain.
So, Greville took his own life.
We no longer think it was because of some broken love affair. That was, in fact, never an explanation we altogether believed.
Then why did he do it? Why?
Before the war, the import of opium into Dutch East Indies was a government monopoly and strictly controlled. During the war, all the imports from Persia naturally stopped. But the Japanese brought in a good deal and encouraged its use in Java as a matter of policy. A drug-taking population is a quiescent one, you understand. So after the war, the new Indonesian government found itself in possession of some 25 tons of opium. They decided to sell. You remember the scandal?
No, but go on.
In the confusion, a quantity of the opium was pilfered, and much today is unaccounted for. In March of this year, our agents in Java reported that a substantial amount was about to be smuggled to Holland. A close watch was kept to intercept it. Later, we heard it was being flown to Amsterdam on a particular KLM flight. All the passengers and luggage were searched at Schiphol, except for some cases of archaeological specimens which were in the possession of Dr. Greville Turner, whose reputation was above reproach.
My God.
Four cases went to the Rice Museum, the fifth to Dr. Turner's hotel. I went with a plainclothes officer to see your brother. We asked to inspect the fifth case.
Having explained, of course, why?
Dr. Turner refused.
He refused?
Yes. He was angry at the suspicion. It is an insult. Then I must insist. To this, he submits with not good grace. We open the case. In it is many kilograms weight of opium.
Your brother looks ill. He states he has no knowledge how it is in his case. He speaks of some mistake. He refuses to make a statement before he has spoken with the British ambassador.
And I make the mistake of leaving him.
If we had treated your brother like an ordinary criminal, he would still be alive.
In other words, he put a seal on his own guilt by killing himself.
If we had thought that, we should have had less excuse to withhold the facts from Dr. Turner's widow, or indeed from you. We chose to withhold judgment.
In the end, the information that our man has brought back from Yakarta and what we have found here since suggests something rather different.
It was Buckingham's doing.
Yes, we discovered the source of his supply in Java and his contacts here. Last week, we made a clean sweep, including their head, a man I believe you met, called Jodenbrey.
Jodenbrey, you've got him.
He comes up for trial next month. It may be that your brother helped Buckingham, but we think it much more likely that he was duped until the very end.
Then why do you suppose he committed suicide?
Not because he was guilty, but because he had no possible way of proving himself innocent.
I don't know why I didn't tell them that I could lead them straight to Buckingham there and then. The anger I felt was enough reason, but something stopped me. Sooner or later, I would come to terms with Greville's suicide. But there were still unanswered questions. There was still the need for revenge. And there was Leonie. Now, when I got back to the hotel in Capri, Martin was out. I was glad. I decided to go up to the Villa Atrani. Only you, Charlotte, and Sandberg were there. Leonie had gone to Rome. You hadn't seen Martin since early that morning. I made my excuses and left. Charles Sandberg followed me out.
Philip, wait. On Tuesday, Leonie told me a little about why you had come here. I had misjudged you.
In what way?
I am Charlotte Weber's oldest friend. She's very much liable to be imposed upon, especially by the artistic dilettante. There's one in the house already.
Niccolo da Costa, you mean? His painting is a fake.
Thank you for telling me. You are interested in Leonie?
Yes.
She hasn't gone to Rome.
Where is she, then?
At a place called Pozzano. It's a village above Amalfi. One of my men saw her get off the boat at Sorrento. She's most likely staying in one of Charlotte's villas.
So why did Madame Weber lie?
I expect she gave her word to Leonie.
How would I find it?
It is 15 Piazza San Stefano.
I lay in bed trying to figure out why Leonie had gone and what I should do about it. My mind wandered back inevitably to Greville. Something Count Louis Joachim had said kept recurring. The man of high ideals has not the spiritual ambiguity to compromise. They must conquer or die who have no retreat. I looked up. The man who was directly responsible for Greville's death came into the room.
Well, what's the news, good or bad?
I don't know what you'd call it.
Tell me.
They found someone else who saw Greville jump into the canal. Then there was some story about dope smuggling.
So he did do it after all?
Yes. Our hunch was wrong.
So what are you going to do now?
Drop the whole thing. It's finished, Martin. Done with.
Are you giving up the search for Buckingham?
Well, what chance is there of finding him? Next to none.
I'm sorry about Greville. I know how much he meant to you.
I knew with absolute certainty that he'd spent the day with Leonie. I knew now what I was going to do. I telephoned Sandberg at the villa and asked to borrow his motorboat. And in the morning I persuaded Coxon to join me in a day's exploration of the outer Faraglioni rocks.
Odd that Leonie should disappear so quickly.
Was it? I think we should have expected it.
You said last night you thought she'd gone to join Buckingham.
I think it likely.
And yet she left Holland to get away from him.
Perhaps women don't ever get men like Buckingham quite out of their system. What you call evil is always more attractive than good.
I've been thinking about Greville. I think on the impulse of the moment, he tried to cover up for Buckingham.
You've got a good imagination?
No, really. Did you know Greville kept a diary? I'm sure he saw Buckingham as a quite exceptional person who'd somehow got on the wrong tracks. And when he found out that Buckingham had let him down, he decided he didn't care. He'd still go on protecting the fellow out of friendship.
You seem to know all about it.
The man who flies the highest has the farthest to fall. Hence the suicide.
That's right. Tell me your brother was a centuriezer in khaki shorts and sunblinkers. Pity we didn't realize it before. It would have saved a lot of trouble.
It saved you a hell of a lot of trouble when he jumped in the canal.
When did you know?
Frankel's letter on Tuesday.
Before that?
A hunch.
When?
At the beginning. That tin of cigars on the table in England. El Toro. Greville smoked them when he could get them. Did he give you them?
Yes. You were surprised when I came to Holland then.
Oh, you had nothing to fear, did you?
Nothing at all.
Then why did you come? It was to trace Leonie, wasn't it?
She disappeared without a word. If you've got some plan, Philip, drop it now.
Just tell me, what happened at your last meeting with Greville?
We had a set to on the bridge. He accused me of getting him into a mess and told me I must get him out of it. I couldn't do that. He wasn't meant to get involved. Plans went awry. But I told him he'd no reason to be surprised that I was making use of him. I'd never pretended for an instant about my own character or my own philosophy of life. If he was let down, he had only himself to blame.
And what did he say to that?
That it was a choice I had to make, a challenge to meet on my own. I told him I'd have none of it, and I left him there.
Damn you!
If you believe I thought nothing of him, you're not even using the right language. I felt more for him than for any other person in my life. We sharpened our brains on each other, raised argument to a new pitch that I didn't know existed. There's an intimacy in battle. He was unselfish and uncorrupt. And I was...
You thought so much of him, but you let him down.
His suicide doesn't prove or justify anything. It only wastes something, throws it away for a gesture.
If Greville got what he asked for, you won't kick, I suppose, if you get the same. Rat, swim! You swim, you bastard, as Greville never had the heart to. It's a waste of time climbing back. I pulled the bung out.
Bloody fool!
You might as well swim. You want to kill us both.
Weak and unsteady, I stood on the quay at Amalfi. Martin, despite my attempts to kill him, lay sprawled out some way off. He knew I was determined to find Leonie. He tried to dissuade me, but I shrugged him off. I found myself scrambling up a stony path. Then I spotted the road I should have taken 200 or 300 yards above. I started climbing and suddenly saw Martin above on a parapet. Instinct told me what he would do. I'd flattened myself beneath a jutting ledge until I was fairly certain he'd gone. Then I climbed to the top. 2 minutes' walk and I'd found number 15 Piazza San Stefano. A woman answered the door and pointed in the direction of the church.
Wait!
Thank God you're safe. Please, listen.
Whilst he gets away.
Look, there's no way out that end, but Philip, let him go, please. Revenge on Martin can do no good now.
Is that what you think?
What he did was contemptible, but
keep out of this, Lenny.
You're crazy.
It's a family failing. Martin? Martin!
Well, Philip?
Will you come outside?
I'm not going to fight you.
It's too late for talking. I hit him.
until the urge to hurt him left me.
Finish it, for God's sake.
No. Your business is to go on living. It's all right, Lenny. I haven't killed him.
Oh, thank God.
You better see to him. He needs help.
Yes. He's my husband, you know.
Hours later, I found myself walking unwillingly to the Villa Atrani. You, Charlotte, have been so kind to me. And Sandberg was due an explanation and payment for his wrecked boat. The dinner conversation passed over my head, and then, suddenly, Leonie sat in the empty place next to me. Oh, I'm going to be exceedingly rude, Charlotte. Forgive me. Leonie, come outside.
Oh, please, you must. It's your last night, Philip, dear. You can do whatever you like.
Do you love him?
No, not properly. Not in the way that you mean.
Leonie.
But that doesn't mean I'm free of him. I care what becomes of him.
Forgive me. It is ill-mannered for an outsider to interfere, but I am concerned.
I'm going back with Lenny tonight to see Martin.
No.
Don't be a fool. From what I can gather, your brother cracked Martin's egoism wide open. It could be that he's at a turning point. If he does find a new way of being, he can only find it on his own. Go with Philip, Lenny. Go, right away.
I promise to go back.
Do you care anything for me at all?
Philip, don't.
Can you give me one thing? Not loyalty, not friendship, not sympathy, but some part of your love.
It's the largest part of my love.
What time shall I get you the boat?
In time, Leonie let go the bonds that tied her to Martin. I accepted Greville's death, not as a suicide, but as a moral decision. It was his right.
Philip, I am so glad. You both look so different now. The strain's gone from your face, your eyes. I'm cross, of course, that you didn't ask me to the wedding.
But I kept my promise. Another day and the portrait will be finished.
The Little Walls by Winston Graham was dramatized by Juliet Ace. Alex Jennings was Philip Turner. Kate Buffray was Leonie Winter. Roger Lloyd Pack was Martin Coxon. Vivian Pickles was Charlotte Weber. And Norman Jones was Sandberg. Helen Cooper was Hermina Maas. Terence Edmund was Van Rankum. And Timothy Morand was Inspector Tolan. Eric Allen, Ronald Herdman, Cyril Jenkins, Cassie McFarlane, Neil Roberts, David Sinclair, Matthew Sim, and Oriel Smith played other roles. The director was Ned Shiey.